Hi, everyone. This is Alicia Halliday, and this is the ASF Weekly Science Podcast. It's all about females this week, and even better, it's all about twin females. As you may know, if you happen to have listened to this podcast maybe twice, ASF is very interested in females with autism. It's included in our request for applications for pre- and postdoctoral fellows, and we've supported accelerator grants to understand females. And then, of course, there's a project that we fund called the Autism Sisters Project. The Autism Sisters Project came from an idea that was brought up at the first ever public meeting on autism in females back in 2014. This was a collaboration between ASF, the Simons Foundation, and Autism Speaks. The goal of the meeting was not just to understand females with autism, but also why females are diagnosed less often than males. 4 males for every 1 female diagnosed, to be exact. Some recent studies have actually estimated that ratio is closer to 3 to 1, but okay, let's say that's right. It's 3 females to every 1 female. What is going on? Researchers have hypothesized that there may be something called the female protective effect that explains this difference. You might interpret the female protective effect as protection against a diagnosis totally, or a factor that reduces the presentation of certain symptoms of autism that make an autism diagnosis more difficult to make. Science shows that girls who have a diagnosis have a lower IQ on the whole, but not in every case, as we'll talk about in a minute, but on the whole, and they also have more genetic mutations than boys with a diagnosis. So then why are there fewer females with autism? To look at this, the key is to look at sisters of those who are diagnosed. They presumably, because of this family history, have a higher genetic burden of an autism diagnosis, but a lower rate. So the key of finding out what's going on may be to look at these undiagnosed sisters. We don't know if they have a higher genetic burden, but they certainly have a higher genetic liability than most girls. So why don't they develop a diagnosis? Or if they do, what is different about it and why? Just a hint, the Autism Sisters Project is looking at that genetic burden of these undiagnosed sisters. Okay, so now you have an explanation of the Sisters Project, which has some new amazing data I hope to share with you soon. Sorry, I'm a total stickler for peer review, as in I would never share anything with you guys that has not been reviewed by a panel of experts who identify any issues, provide their own perspectives, and make sure everything that's said in that article is good to share. So a new study out of Sweden used twins, and you know, I have twin girls, one with autism and one without, so I'm very excited about twin studies, looked at this question. Not that I believe twin research is the only way to study autism, far, far from it. But this study combined twins, females, autism, and the brain, and autistic features, not just a diagnosis. So there was this group in Sweden led by somebody named Sven Bolte, but also many other smart Swedes. And they used an existing twin study in Sweden of males and female twins, both concordant and discordant for autism. For this analysis, only both girl twins or both boy twins were examined, so there were no boy-girl pairs. Concordant means that they were both diagnosed with autism, and discordant means one twin was diagnosed with autism and the other one was not. Again, sometimes they both had autism and sometimes only one had autism, but they were either both girls or both boys. In the study, the sample included 15 female and 11 male discordant pairs, meaning only one of them had autism, and 3 female and 3 male concordant pairs, meaning they both had autism. And then finally, they added 23 female and 29 male pairs without autism as a comparison. That last point is important because all the literature so far points out that to understand male-female differences in autism, they need to be compared to male-female differences that occur in the normal general population. The group found that autistic boys did have higher severity scores than autistic girls in this study, and that's not all that exciting. I've seen that data before. Thank you, next. Kudos for everyone for getting that Ariana Grande reference, by the way. Instead of looking up group differences, they looked at within pair differences. That is, what was the difference between the boy twin with autism and the boy twin without autism? And then they compared it to the boy twin whose other brother also has autism. And then they take those differences and compare it to the girls. They looked at a number of factors. They looked at brain size. And most interesting, they did these associations between the brain regions and specific autism traits. So within a diagnosis, they looked at severity and also measures on the social responsiveness scale. As an example, just to throw it out there, one question might be, are bigger brains in boys associated with more severe autism? And do you see the same pattern in girls? Well, in this paper, there's an entire table of all the associations between traits in male and female twins, their measurements of brain size in different areas, and their scores on severity measures. What they found was that males don't show that many differences in the brain compared to those without autism. But females do, in comparison to boys, show differences in a lot of areas, and that those areas are related to autistic traits as well as autism severity. Increases in autistic traits were significantly associated with decreases in cortical volume and surface area of temporal and frontal lobe regions in female, but not male, brains. In males, surface area of the brain was affected by autistic traits only in occipital and parahippocampal regions. So importantly, when comparing male and female twins to each other, not male to female, but male twin to his male twin, they didn't really differ overall in the level of autistic traits. This means those with similar increase in autistic traits and severity in those with autism, females had more distinct structural brain alterations compared to males. In other words, just like genetic load, females with autism show more profound changes in brain structure compared to males. The interpretation of this data could be that females are more affected but show a lower rate of diagnosis. More profound brain changes mean that they suggested that larger differences in the brain could lead to reaching a higher clinical threshold. However, of course, they make sure to say this study was probably not big enough to make that conclusion. Also of interest was the different patterns of brain changes in males and females. Some were associated with larger regions, some were associated with smaller regions. And of course, they were in different regions than boys. So again, men are for Mars, women are for Venus, and this points additional data to the female protective effect in autism. Now, switching gears, but still thinking about males and females with autism, I was glad this week that a presentation I saw at the International Society for Autism Research last year finally made it to a publication this year. The title of the publication was A Qualitative Exploration of the Female Experience in Autism Spectrum Disorder. I talked last week or the week before about employment experiences in males versus females, but this was more of some general interviews given to females with autism or their parents about their overall experiences. The girls in the study were recruited as part of a twin study in the UK of people with autism. So there's the twin link, but that's where the association with twins ends. They talked openly with 18 autistic females who were all verbal and had normal cognitive ability, and four moms of girls with autism. The girls involved, including the minors, were anywhere between 11 and 55 years old. They asked them mainly about three things: the diagnostic pathway, the impact of autism, and resilience and coping. The questions were designed by the research team and guided by previous interactions with females with autism and the current hypotheses in the research field. They were designed to be used flexibly so that if a group of answers went in one direction or if a conversation took a turn, the moderator could follow up on that train of thought rather than just dismissing it and going straight to the next question. So just to be clear, though, obviously this was just about girls. There was no comparison group to boys. You can ding them for that, as I kind of do in the back of my head, but the goal was really to understand more about an underrepresented group of people with autism, that is females. I wish I could say that females experienced this and males didn't experience this, but did experience that, but that's not how the study was designed. The interviews lasted about an hour and some themes emerged. That means people had the same thing to say about certain topics. The overarching themes in the answers were: number one, fitting in with a norm. Females and parents of girls identified themselves as feeling and being different, that they felt like this was especially true as girls, and they had extraordinary coping mechanisms. They all said they struggled to establish and maintain relationships, and this was a huge challenge. Number two, they faced lots of obstacles. They said that, for example, getting a diagnosis was just more difficult. Number three, the women said they had sensory issues, lots of meltdowns, and experienced a high rate of comorbid conditions. They called this the negative aspects of autism. Number four, perspective. They felt that many people with autism didn't think girls could have autism or had a negative impression of girls that did have autism, and even sometimes doubted if they had autism. Five, the females mentioned, that autism was not the defining feature of their life. They perceived it as a difference, not a disability. They also felt that their autism gave them a strong sense of justice, feeling what is right and what is wrong. Again, it would have been great to have done these same interviews with boys with similar cognitive abilities and language abilities, including their parents, but they didn't. I did include it here because it does provide insight into what females with autism think and feel. I'm sorry, but there will be no podcast next week. ASF has their annual scientific advisory board meeting, but don't worry, I'll be posting something for you to read or enjoy on the ASF Facebook page. If you don't like us on Facebook, please do. Have a great week.